Number 1, verses 1 through 3, and then chapter number 3, verses 1 through 4. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And then chapter number 3, verses 1 through 4. Notice verse 1 of chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. And then chapter number 3 says, And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. You may be seated. Well, I've had something to get you to thinking about tonight with your prayers and with the Lord's help. I would like for you to think about, where are you? As far as your life goes, as far as your relationship with God goes, where are you at? Because we see three towns mentioned here in the book of Jonah. The town of Joppa, the town of Tarshish, and the town of Nineveh. But they were more than just towns when it comes to the life of Jonah. They represented places that he was in relationship with God's will and plan for his life. So I want to tell you, even though we're at this Welcome Grove Baptist Church on Powder Springs Road in Marietta, Georgia, we're probably either at Joppa or we're at Tarshish or we're at Nineveh in our inward personal relationship with God. And I would just like for us to try to find out where we are tonight. Because where we are is very important in how things are going and what we're trying to do as we live in this present world. Now think about Joppa. I think about Joppa, and I think about in Jonah's life, it was the place of decision. It was a place where Jonah even had to make a decision to mind God or make a decision to disobey God. Because, see, the word of the Lord had came unto him and told him what to do. Go down to Nineveh. And Jonah's wrestling, do I go to Nineveh or do I go against God's will and go in an opposite direction? Jonah at Joppa is making a very important decision as far as his relationship with God goes. Now think about that verse in the book of Joel where the Bible said, Multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. You know, there are a lot of times Christians find themselves at Joppa. Did you know that? A lot of times Christians wrestle with whether they want to really live for God wholeheartedly or if they just want to be sort of a part-time Christian, if there is such a thing, I think not, or what they want to do about their relationship. A lot of Christians wrestle with how they're going to walk in the walk that they've got with the Lord Jesus. I've been pastoring for a number of years, and I have had times in my life I saw people come in and I thought, boy, they're here to stay. I mean, they're really in there. They've got it all figured out. They're going to live for God. It wasn't just a few weeks down the road. I wondered where they was again. They was no longer there in the house of God. There's a lot of Christians that are like that. They're sort of in and outers. They're sort of up and downers. They're sort of with you, not with you. And they're wrestling with what they need to do about really living a dedicated, consecrated, and separated life unto the Lord. Amen. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Brother, because I'm I'm sort of like that. Sometimes I get fired up and I want to live for God, and other times I don't care if I do or not. Well, you need to make a decision tonight. You don't need to straddle that fence, because really Jesus said you can't do it. He said you're either for me or against me. He said you'll either love me and cling to me and obey me, or you'll go against me. And so if you're a Christian struggling with what to do about living for God, make a commitment tonight that by the grace of God and with the help of God, you're going to live for God. Now maybe somebody here said, look, I've been saved, but I just don't think I can live it. Well, that's just not the truth. Amen. It's not you can't, it's just you won't. And the reason I say that, the Bible said, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And what that means is you can say no to the devil and mean it and not do it. Did you know that? He said, cuss somebody out, you're saying, don't do it. The Lord don't want me to, and I don't have to. Amen. He didn't say backbite on somebody. You didn't tell him you ain't going to do it. God don't want you to, and you don't have to. See, the Bible talks about when we yield to the devil, that's when he, and give place to him, that's when he takes advantage of us. But I'll tell you, when you're saved, if you want to live for God, he'll help you do it. I like what Paul said. Paul was really a bad man when he was called Saul of Tarsus. I mean, he persecuted Christians. He threw them in jail. He stood by when they was being killed, Stephen, as an example. But when he got saved, he was a different individual. And I guess somebody wondered, how do you live it, Paul? He said, well, there's a secret to it. He said, it ain't really me living it. He said, it's not really me. He said, it ain't really me living it. He said, the life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and died for me. He said, I've got the victory over the devil because Jesus lives inside of me. Amen. The Bible said we're kept by the power of God under the day of salvation. But it'll be revealed at that last time we're kept by his power. So if you're wrestling with whether to live for God, I would say settle that issue tonight and give your total being to God and determine, like Daniel purposed in his heart, you need to determine by the grace of God you will live for God. Amen. Amen. A lot of folks look at church folks and that's why they don't come to church. You know that? A lot of folks look at church folks and they don't come to church because of church folks. Because they're not the same out of the church as they are in the church. Did you know that's true? Well, that's true over in Cartersville where I preach at. That may not be true here in Marietta, but I think it's pretty true everywhere. Amen. They come to church and act religious and they go out in the world, act like, can I just say the word, the devil? And that's why a lot of folks don't want to come to church, because they ain't got no confidence in the folks that go to church. But if you'll live separated life and holy, they'll say, where you get what you got? Amen. Where do you get what you got? What is it that makes you be at peace when we're all shook up around this place? What is it that makes you love when we're all mad at everybody else? What is it that makes you have a smile on your face and a spring in your step and a shout in your heart? What is it? And you can tell us that old time religion, blood bought, got bought and paid for at Calvary. You can say it's Christ in me. That's what it's all about. And then sometimes sinners struggle with decision about whether to give their life to the Lord Jesus. Now, do you remember when you was in that position? In your heart, you felt like you needed to be saved. You knew you needed to be saved. You knew you were miserable. You knew you were restless. You knew you needed help. But there was this war that went on inside of you, the devil saying, don't go. And Jesus said, you ought to go. And there's many wrestles with that decision. See, the devil, I want to tell you some news about the devil. He don't want nobody to get saved. And I want to tell you another thing about the devil. He wants every sinner. I'm just going to preach plain preaching, okay? And you'll like me because I'm going to do it in love, okay? I'm going to love you. But he wants every sinner to go to hell. That's what he wants. Now, that's pretty plain, but that's exactly the truth. But sinners wrestle. They think about what they're going to give up. But if they ever understand what they get, in place of what they let go, what they get is so much greater than what they let go, that what they let go don't appear to be nothing to what they got. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. I'm telling you, what we get in the Lord Jesus, the devil, he ain't got nothing to compare with it. My brother Jimmy says this. He says, I'm happier now when I ain't happy. Any English teacher here? If you are, just let that go over your head. He said, I'm happier now when I ain't happy than I used to be when I was happy. Now, you know what he said? He said, my worst time with Jesus is better than my best time with the devil. Amen. And so, sinner, if you're here, a boy, girl, man, or woman, and you've never been saved, I want to tell you, you need to make a decision tonight at Joppa in your life and come to this altar, repent of your sins, ask Jesus to come in. You'll never regret the night or the day when the Lord saves you. Joppa, the place of decision. But then there's another town in the life of Jonah, and that is the town of Tarshish. And in Jonah's life, that represented him being out of the will of God. That meant that he had made a decision instead of going to where God told him to go. The Bible said that he had bought a ticket, he had paid his fare, he bought the ticket, he got on the ship and said, I'm going to Tarshish. I'm not going to go to Nineveh where the word of the Lord told me to go. I'm going to go to Tarshish. I'm going to be disobedient to God's will and plan for my life. Now, I want to tell you something. I want you to listen at me. Everybody listen. Everybody listen. Give me a little head nod if you listen. I want to tell you, you have the right to disobey God. But you don't get to pick out the consequences that goes with it. Yeah, you have the right to say, God, I am not going to do what you want me to do. I don't care what you say or what you do, God, I'm not going to do it. You have a right to choose to be disobedient. But you do not get to choose the consequences associated with your disobedience. So when Jonah made the wrong decision and they were out on that boat in that water, the Bible said a storm comes up. And it gets the mariners of the ship all disturbed because it's a big and a tough storm. And they're doing all they can to sail and to go forward in the storm, but they're just losing ground. They're not gaining in it all. And so they begin to try to determine what the cause of the storm was. What's causing this storm? And so the Bible said they cast lots, and the lots fell on Jonah. But there was an interesting thing I noticed even in reading in the Bible today, where the Bible said that Jonah had told them that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. So it wasn't hard when the lots fell on Jonah to recognize him, because he had already identified the problem on the ship. It was him. And what he was saying is, if you'll just throw me overboard, you'll get rid of your problem, but I'm not sure about what my situation will be. And so the Bible said that they throwed him overboard. And the Bible said God had prepared a great fish. Now, over in the New Testament, it talks about Jonah being in the whale's belly. Another passage, it describes that fish as a great fish that God prepared. But whatever you want to say, here's the bottom line. A fish swallowed Jonah. Amen. God made a fish with a large enough esophagus that a man could go down that esophagus and land in that man's stomach. Jonah ended up in the belly of the whale with sea reeds wrapped all around him, and he found himself in an awful bad position. So when you go disobedient to God, you can begin to look out because there's something on your trail. And the something I'm talking about is there is trouble on your trail. You know, we talk about, and I know what we're saying, we talk about that it's not easy to live a Christian life. And I know what we're saying. You know, we're tempted and we're in a trying world and there's sin on every hand. But you know what the Bible said was hard? It don't say the way of the Christian's hard. It don't say it's hard to live a Christian life. The Bible said the way of a transgressor is hard. What the Bible is saying is people that go against God, they've got hard days and hard nights and hard life before them because God will get your attention about disobeying Him. Now, I want to say something here very distinctly and very clearly tonight. And I want you to listen to you. Everybody hear me, okay? Give me a little head nod. I'll be sure y'all awake, okay? And I believe you are. But I want to say this. Not every time trouble is a sign that you're out of God's will. Because one time Jesus told disciples to cross over to the other side of the sea. They minded him. They started over towards the other side of the sea. And this terrific storm come up as they were going over in obedience to the instructions of the Lord. A storm come up. But I'll tell you, they wasn't left there in it by themselves. Jesus made sure that they were safe and secure. Sometimes a storm is to try your faith. And to build your faith. And to cause you not to trust in yourself or in man, but to trust in God. Sometimes a storm is to cause your faith to be stronger in the Lord. But then sometimes your trouble is because of you and your disobedience. My brother Jimmy's a preacher. He's been preaching 50-something years. Is it close to 60 now, Johnny? I'm not for sure. My brother Bob is a preacher. He's probably preaching close to something 50 years. He's still with us. My dad is going to be with the Lord. He probably preached about 50-something years. And so if you had all the green years of preaching up, there's a lot of preaching years in our family. Now, we haven't been the greatest big-name preachers, but you know, in God's sight, sometimes us little guys, he likes us too. I know he loves me. He sure has been good to me. But what I want to say is my brother Jimmy back years ago, the funeral homes ran the emergency runs when they had wrecks. Y'all remember that? Was that true down here in Marietta? The funeral home answered the wreck calls. And so my brother Jimmy, he worked for our funeral home, and they answered this wreck call, and he picked up a guy that both Jimmy and I actually knew. And this man had been injured in that wreck. And was hurt. And this is what he said to my brother Jimmy. He said, Jimmy, if I'd been doing what the Lord wanted me to do, he said, this wouldn't have happened to me. Now somebody said, did that happen because of that reason? I don't know. But that's what he said. And he was the one. Amen. What I'm trying to say is sometimes we disobey God. We open the door and we say, trouble, come in. Trouble come in. But if we be obedient to God, if trouble comes in, He'll be there with us in the midst of that trouble. But Jonah's in the whale's belly. The weeds are wrapped all around his head. And I think he thinks he's about to die. And he even says these words. He said, out of the belly of hell, I cried unto the Lord. And you know what he was telling him, and this is Clinton Green coming to you. He was telling him, God, I'm ready to go to Nineveh. If you'll just get me out of this whale, this big old fish, I'm sick, I'm about to die. If you'll just get me out of this fish, Lord, I'm ready to go to Nineveh. Here's what it said. I'll pay my vows unto you, Lord. Just get me out of here. I'm ready to do what you want me to do. Have you ever been through a storm and you said, oh, I'm ready now, God? You ever been there? I ain't going to do it, God. And you get in a storm, you say, oh, Lord, get me out of here. I'm ready to go. Jonah was ready to be obedient to God. I guess I'm in a city church here as far as the location, huh? Country church as far as atmosphere. So do I say that the fish regurgitated Jonah? Or do I say that the fish throwed him up? Or do I say he just vomited him up? I don't know. But anyway, that fish come out of that. That preacher come out of that fish. And the Bible said that when he got on dry ground, he made fast time going over to Nineveh to do what God wanted him to do. So I say to you tonight, if you're out of God's will, and there's a lot of stuff going on in your life, you're part of the solution to changing things. Did you know that? Don't put it all on God. He didn't cause it. I said, don't put it all on God. He didn't cause it. You caused it. Sometimes folks blame God for what we bring on. Yeah, we say God, and it's not God, it's us and our disobedience. And sometimes our troubles are not because of God. It's because of our disobedience to God. But Brother Jonah got on that road headed to Nineveh, and he was there fast. Began to preach to them folks in that whole city. Got down on their knees and sackcloths and ashes. Began to pray, ask God to forgive. And God heard them. And I was looking at that a little bit today too, where it said God repented of that which he said he would do. And the Bible said he did it not. Now you can wrestle with that about can God change his mind or not. But you better look at some things in there before you get too really tight on that. Amen. Because the Bible said God repented of that which he said he would do. He didn't want to do it anyway. He was doing it because of their sins and their wickedness. And God didn't want to destroy Nineveh. God wanted to do what he did do, and that saved Nineveh. But you know what Nineveh was in Jonah's life? The place of being in God's will. You know, I read something. It's been many years ago. It was in a Sunday school quarterly, I think it was, or in some literature, a Christian kind. And what I read was something that went like this. The greatest achievement possible in life is, what would you think would go to that? The greatest achievement possible in life is to be financially secure. That's not what they said. The greatest achievement, young people, I'm so glad of the young people's coming to this revival. The greatest achievement the greatest achievement in life possible is to be popular with your friends. Oh, I know what it was. Maybe it was the greatest achievement possible in life is to be highly educated. That's what it said. You know what it said? It said the greatest achievement possible in life is to be in the will of God. And you know what I thought, Brother Jeff? I can do that with the Lord's help. Now those other things, just filthy rich, I didn't say it that way, but you know what I'm saying? And those other ways about being immensely popular, you think a country preacher like me is very popular? And those other things about being highly educated, you can tell I ain't.
Yes.
Now, those things I might have a problem with. But if I can just have an opportunity to live for God, and if I'll make an effort to do that and be in His will, I'll be making a high achievement in my life as far as God is concerned. Let me tell you a little story, a little real story that happened to me many years ago. I had a friend of mine that asked me to help him in a revival, and it was at a church where I would describe it sort of cool church. Now, not cool like the young people say. I'm talking about, and not cool like the weather. I'm talking about if you had a spiritual thermometer in there, it would be down there towards the freezing, not up there towards the red hot. You ever been in one of them churches? Well, I felt like my friend's church was like that, and I don't know, and I didn't know how I would fit in that church because I don't know. Well, on top of that, they said, he said, we're going to eat every night before meeting. And I have a little trouble sometimes eating and preaching. You know, the chicken wants to not go stay where it's supposed to be. Amen. And so to try to be agreeable, and my wife can testify to this, try to be agreeable, I thought, well, I'll just eat with them too. With me and Jenny, our family, we'll just eat with them. We'll just go to meet with them. But here's what I done. I find myself to pray. A place to pray. And I got on my knees and I said, this is what I said. I said, God, help me not to be ashamed of what I am.
That's right.
That's what I said. I said, God, help me not to be ashamed of what I am.
That's right.
Well, I got up to that church, that Monday night in revival, and I got to preaching, and they had a clock right back in the back where just the preacher and the congregation don't see it. It ain't for them. It's for the preacher, I reckon. I mean, why would a clock be just right over the door when everybody's went down from the choir and everybody looking at it? There's something about that clock where it's located. Reckon they tell us something? Amen. But I got to preaching. I got to feel a little bit of liberty. And I said, my time's flying tonight. And that's how I can tell if I'm preaching. If time ain't moving, I ain't doing nothing. And I've got up and I preached about 5-10 minutes. I thought I'd preach a big message. I looked at my watch and I just got up there and I'm about done. Yeah. But sometimes the Lord lets me get liberated and gets the preaching in me and puts preaching spirit in me. I just preach a while. And so I said, and time flies when that happens. Brother Jeff knows what I'm talking about. Well, I went back on Tuesday night, same thing. The Lord helped me. And I looked at that old clock and said, time's flying. I was preaching away. Time flying. Wednesday night, Thursday night, I went back. And before I got up to preach, I said, and you young people, listen to this. I got a note passed to you. I always want to know. Don't never give me no bad ones. I don't want them. I don't want no bad ones. If you don't like me, don't tell me. If you think I'm crazy, just don't tell me. Yeah. But if you want to write a little note, say, preacher, you're a pretty good preacher. I like you. And you just preach on something like that. You just give me all them notes you want to. But anyway, that note I got is a little bit of note. And what it said was, don't pay any attention to that clock. You know what they said? They said, son, you just preach. Don't you worry about it. You're in God's will. You're telling us the truth. You just preach. Don't you worry about the time. You just mind God. We're here. I like it when they went down to Cornelius' house and they said to Peter, we're all here and we're ready to hear. And this is my commentary. We're ready to hear the word from God, Peter. Cornelius, they was open and receptive to what God wanted them to hear. Well, I went back on Friday night, last night of the revival. I got up in the pulpit and I looked at where the clock used to be. And it was no longer there. They had took the old clock down and they'd put a little sign up. And that little sign said, just preach on. Woo! Woo! I'm telling you, be who you are. Don't try to sing like somebody else. Don't try to preach like somebody else. Don't try to teach like somebody else. Don't try to pray like somebody else. Just pray the best you know how. Sing the best you know how. Teach the best you know how. Preach the best you know how. And God will honor your efforts if you're obedient to His word. He got a place that Nineveh got finally in the place where God wanted him to be. I don't know the hearts of people here tonight, but I know that you know where you are. You know if you're a job or you're just trying to wrestle through some stuff and trying to find out what you want to do about your church life and living for God. You know, I don't know how to say this. I just say it sometimes. I know how we just have so few that really, 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 really love God. Did you know that? Now, I ain't talking about the crowds that come. I'm talking about when it gets down to Wednesday nights and Sunday nights and the visitation and all these things. We have very few people that are really saying, what can I do to help the church and help the Lord and win somebody to the Lord? Very few are like that. Yeah, but if we'll just work and do God's will, those of us that are trying, he'll bless us. But those of you that are sort of just, you know, I like to wade in a creek and it's fun, but it's more fun to swim. You know that. I'm not a good swimmer. I do that, what you call it, dog paddling. I'm a dog paddler. But it's more fun to swim. And a lot of folks, as Christians, they just hang around the banks waiting their toes a little bit. You need to do like Ezekiel, just get on out there to waters to swim in. So maybe you need to come and rededicate your life tonight. While the choir director is coming, the musicians are coming. Maybe you're here tonight, you say, Brother Clinton, I've never been saved. You're in a bad shape. Listen at me, I want to tell you something. We got a lot of bad stuff going on in this world. We got people dying of cancer. We got people with heart diseases. We've got all kind of problems. We got little children that's got multiple cirrhosis and autism, and we got a lot of things going on in this world, bad things. But there ain't nothing worse than being a lost person. Because that means if you die tonight, you'll go to that awful place called hell, and you'll spend eternity in the lake of fire and brimstone. So if you're not saved tonight, I want to encourage you. And I thank you for singing that song, Jesus Loves Me. A great theologian, play when you're ready, sister. We'll sing in just a minute. But a great theologian one time, he had all kind of degrees and all kind of titles after his name. And they asked him one day, said, sir, said, what is the greatest thing that you've ever learned? And he had all kind of book knowledge. He learned all kind of theories and all kind of facts and all kind of things he had learned them. But it didn't take him long to answer that hard question. Sir, what is the greatest thing that you've ever learned? He said, I'll tell you what it is. He said, the greatest thing I ever learned was that Jesus loves me. And I'll tell you, I don't care who you are tonight, Jesus loves you. I don't care what you've been into. The adulterous woman, he took care of her sins. The crazy maniac, he took care of his problems. I'm telling you, he don't have problems with problems. He just makes them go away. Somebody said, you think God can deliver folks from drugs and alcohol, pornography and all that stuff? He sure can. He'll make you not like none of that stuff no more. Amen. Can I tell you one more thing? I'll try to finish here. I need to get through as soon as I'm done, don't I? But Brother Bill Alack is going to be with the Lord. Went to Eastgate Baptist Church. He said, before I got saved, said I was bad to cuss. And he said, I always wondered what I was going to do about my mouth when I got saved, about my cussing. But he said, when I got saved, he said, it just didn't seem to be a problem. You know what the Bible said? God gives us another heart. A new heart, a new tongue, a new inward being. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So while we stand, and Brother Jeff stands with us, or whatever he chooses to do, we invite you to come tonight and pray in this altar. Get right with God. Rededicate your life. Be saved. Whatever you need to do, I pray you'll do it while they sing for us, okay?